me, this is scary. And this is scary stuff for me. It reminds me of the 25th chapter of Matthew, where you have the two groups, the sheep and the goats, and the Lord says on one side, I was hungry and you fed me, naked and you clothed me, in prison and sick and you came to visit me, you know, a stranger, and you welcomed me. And they say, well, when did we do that? He said, whenever you do it to the least of the brothers and sisters, you do it to me. And then the other ones, he says, get out of my sight. You know, for I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. I was a stranger and you didn't. And they said, well, when did that happen? Well, whenever you do this to the least of the brothers and sisters. And one goes off one way and one goes off the other. So we have this story again. And in Luke's gospel, it is situated in the 16th chapter. The 15th chapter, if you remember, was the prodigal son story. Then in the 16th chapter, he's talking about money. You had the thing, the gospel last week that we didn't look at because we talked about the other gospel, Libby and I. But that was the one where he had the wily manager and he's going to get fired because he's cheating the boss. So he cheats the boss even more. He takes and he changes all the invoices and then gives credit because he says, you know, I'm too proud to beg and I'm too weak to dig ditches, so I'm going to do some more extortion to be able, you know. And then the guy's praised. He's praised for it in the gospel story. Then you have that little famous line that says, "You can't love both God and money. You'll love one and hate the other, or despise one and support the other." I forget exactly how it went. And then you got this story, and it's all, this whole 16th chapter is all about money. And you got this guy who's a rich guy, and you got a poor guy, and it doesn't say that the rich man was evil or that the poor man was good. It just gave an economic snapshot. And isn't that, I mean, it seems to be so much in our life today that we're always getting economic snapshots. Whether or not we got millionaires and billionaires fighting it out for presidential place, or somebody releasing their taxes, or, you know, I mean, the economics of life in Jesus' time, I suspect, aren't much different than the economics in our life. You know, we are, as families, as workers, as employers, no matter where we are on this economic ladder, there are those that are higher and those that are lower. And I think that what we have Jesus presenting is questioning us. And in this story particularly, the guy says, well, I've got five brothers. You know, have him go back and warn them. And sort of in a foreshadowing of what Jesus is going to experience, he says, nah, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe somebody that rises from the dead. And the way that the story is constructed, we are invited to stand with the brothers. You know, the story is constructed for us to ask the question and look at our own, how do we treat money? And I think that as valid in Jesus' time as it was, it's valid for us. What's the priority? And I think ultimately that's what's being questioned here. What's the priority? What's the role of God in your economics? I think clearly God has a role there. And that's not an underhanded way of trying to tweak people to give more to the church. Sometimes they try to do that. But I think that we just got to look at our lives realistically and say, where is God in all this? And you know what? I don't have a clue how to do that. I'd love to be able to say how that works out. I know there's a role. But at this point in my life, I haven't been able to figure it out. Because And I thought about this the other day. I was sitting out on our little back porch, and I was praying about this very thing. And I always in my life, I'm like that guy, okay? You ever seen it? That guy. I'm the guy that always has a scheme to get rich. A new business venture, a new opportunity, a new plan, a new way of doing this, and they never have worked. I am terrible at it. I mean, there are people that have a knack for business. They can make it happen. They can, and I'm not that guy. It just, and so the question of how is God involved in our lives, even to the point of being involved in our financial life, I know that there is that role and that place. Now, last week we talked about writing our story and being the co-author with God, having the pen, you know, having kind of the shared responsibility. And I think that the key to this is really, what are the priorities, what's the motivation, and am I, and I certainly can't point out to you and say you, but how in my life am I allowing God to be the co-author of all of my life, including my financial life? And I think that when I was younger, I didn't think about it quite as much, because I always had tomorrow. And now as I've gotten older, the reality of less and less and fewer tomorrows is starting to dawn on me. And when I used to go out and grab something with this hand and lift it up, and grab something with this hand and lift it up, and now I take the same objects with both hands and I do this, I think, you know, things are changing. And I get scared. I just flat out get scared. But that brings me back to the question, how am I trusting in my faith to allow God to write those chapters that have not yet been written? Is God bigger than my finances? Is God bigger than my fear? And if I am open and inviting God to be present in all of my life, will God be present in the financial choices that I'm making? A lot of times if you turn on some radio shows or TV shows or whatever, you got people that talk about a prosperity gospel. You know, that if you just come to the Lord and give your life to the Lord will write a checkbook and just be giving you money, you know. It drives me crazy. I prayed and I got $20,000. Nah. You know, what are we promised if we come to the Lord? The cross. That's what we're promised. You know, we're not promised financial security. I would love that to be true, because that would take away my fears. But you know what? Where does faith come into play then? If all my worries are taken away from and all my stuff is fixed and all my bills are paid, oh, I'd love that. And then I've got this big wad of cash in the bank so I can just sort of draw off of it and I don't have to. Where's faith? Where does God come into my story in writing that? You know, I mean, I don't think in our gospel reading today that Jesus, he's not making the point, is it better to be rich or better to be poor? And, you know, in a lot of our political stuff we hear about the distribution of wealth and the variances between the rich and, I mean, that's still the discussion that we have today. That was going on 2,000 years ago with Jesus. That isn't a new discussion. But where's the priority? just because you're rich and powerful, and there's a lot of people that are rich and powerful, we are probably in the top 99 percentile of the world's population. I mean, I don't suspect that many of us in this church are independently wealthy. But when you look across the face of the globe, we are probably in, you know, the top 3, 4, 5% of the world's population in terms of wealth. Just us in this church. I think what Jesus is saying is that calls us to responsibility and accountability and just to take it seriously. You know, what do I do with my money? How do I manage it? I don't have an answer to it, but I know I am called by God into the discussion. I have to be able to discuss that and think about it and pray about it rather than worry about it. What do we spend more time doing with our finances? Worrying about it? Or just bringing it to God and being open to the discussion? And I think that's where I have landed, is being open to God, bringing it to God, being in discussion with the Lord, and praying about it. You know, where do we go? I had an interesting experience yesterday. I went to the beatdown that was called the Wisconsin-Michigan State game. And I took my golf partner with me. We've been golfing together a couple years, 3, 4 years. I mean, it was one of these things where he was a new guy and I didn't have a partner because my partner switched partners and went with somebody else. So they said, okay, here's, you know, go with Randy. So other than playing golf together, we've never spent a lot of time together. We've never really talked to him that much. But we had about a two and a half hour ride back, and we went to the football game and then tailgated and had friends and whatever, and we're driving back. And he basically said to me, tell me your story. Those weren't his words. But tell me your faith journey. He said, how did you get... Because I told him that when I was at Michigan State, I got my undergraduate degree in animal husbandry. And he's like, how in the world did you get from there to kind of where you are now? Tell me that story. Did you have an epiphany? And I thought to myself, I don't want to tell my story. Well, because I had to be aware and talk about how was God involved in that story. And as I sat for driving, you know, back for like 2.5 hours, I'm telling the story. And I'm tired and I'm crabby and I don't want to talk about any of this stuff. But then he would say, and then what happened? And then what happened? And you did what? And you went and what? And I just found myself telling the story of how God was involved in my life. And somehow I felt a little bit of peace in that. I didn't want to tell my story, but in the telling of the story, it was like, oh, I see how God was involved. Tell your story. How is God involved in your life? Because when you see the hand of God working in your life all the way along, even if you make bad choices, pick me, even if you make those bad choices, God is still in them and with you and walking with you. And that gives me courage today to know that there's no reason not to believe that he will do anything different in the future. So as I get older and times get shakier and I get a little more scared because I'm not working from the power of my own wit and my own body, but I'm needing to depend on the power of faith. And my story begins to take a little bit of turn because I don't have as firm a grasp on the pencil as I used to. But the Lord's hand is writing that story. And when I look back and I can see it all the way through to today, that gives me courage to go forward knowing that I won't be alone in that. Let the Lord write your story with you. Whether it's in the midst of your finances, in the midst of your health crises, in the midst of your relationships, in the midst of your jobs, in the midst of your future financial goals and obligations, let the Lord continue to write that story. And the way you can be convinced that that's possible is by going back to the beginning and reviewing your own story. And has God been there all the way along? And I think that if we're honest with that, we look at it, we have to say, oh yeah, he was there. And there, and there, and there, and there. And that gives me the comfort and the faith and the confidence to go on. Tell someone your story this week. How'd you get here? What's your story?